morning.
Good morning.
I might get an alpha day, so you'll just hear unclothed, right? For his willingness to die on that cross, that dark day, and yet the day in which all of our sins were laid upon him, he paid the penalty in full and has given us his life through his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer here today, born again for good, forever, never to lose that salvation. It is the work of Christ completed there at Calvary. Like you said, it is finished. And Father, we thank you that in this hour we have the privilege to gather again around the Lord's table, partake of the elements that remind us and are a memorial of the body and blood of Christ that he gave that day to save us. We pray that that will be a blessed time together. This whole hour will be blessed by your Spirit. We pray that each of us will be walking by the Spirit, listening, participating as we worship together, as we pray together, as we hear the word preached. Fill Pastor with your Spirit. Use him in a mighty way today to convey your message to us from the Scriptures. We pray that the Spirit will move and work and accomplish in each heart what he desires today. And may Jesus be glorified, your name be lifted high. We praise you for the privilege and the blessing of being here today. We commit this hour to you and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. Looking at the early church there in Jerusalem, the church is on fire for the Lord. Let's take a look here in Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse number 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's court. And of the rest, there no man joined himself to them. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and called. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom we put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter And the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity we have to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, to exalt his holy name, to tell these people, each one of us, that he is Lord. He is Savior. He is the one who died on the cross to take away our sins, and he's the one who arose again from the grave, and he's coming back to take us home. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your goodness to us today. We do pray that you will bless this congregation. We thank you for each one who comes. We thank you for each life that's represented here. And we pray that you'll help us to spread the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And may we proclaim that wherever we go. And Lord, we do pray, our Father, that your holy will might be accomplished in our lives and in our church. We read about the early church, and it encourages us and strengthens us to think of the power that they had. But we're supposed to have the same power today. The Holy Spirit is in us and with us. So may we exercise that power, and may we proclaim the gospel. Our Father, we pray for those who are having trouble. We pray that you'll be with those who are sick and afflicted in one way or another, and meet their needs every way. We pray for Tom Nichols that he might be able to get this pacemaker that will help him in his health. We just thank you for strengthening each one of us, and pray that we will look to you for all that we need. Be with those who are traveling. We think of the March family will be coming back this week. Pray that you'll watch over them. We pray for others that may be traveling as well, that you'll undertake for them. Lord, bless our country. We were talking about it in Sunday school again this morning, thinking about all that's going on and how we pray, our Father, that your will might be done. You know, how can people fight against God? That's what we see here in this chapter we read this morning. And we know that there are people today who are trying to do that very thing. And we just pray that you will show them that they can never make headway. We pray, dear Father, we'd like to see a great moving of your Holy Spirit in our country, and that we might see many come to Christ, and that your work may be done. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Bless us and guide us in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn once again to Acts chapter 5. We're talking about the power of God's work through his people. You know, the Lord does work through people, doesn't he? You read that all through the whole scriptures. He chose someone and then he used that person to do a great work. And here we find the early church God is going to use in a marvelous way. In Romans 1:16 and 17, the apostle states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We live by faith, don't we? From day to day. We don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. Things are in flux. But if our faith is strong in the Lord Jesus, we keep on going, right? Don't give up. Don't quit. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Trust in the Lord, and he will see you through. We find here in Acts chapter 5, the power of God on display in a church that was actually actively spreading the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And their great emphasis was on the resurrection. That Jesus Christ died, yes, but not as a martyr. He died as our Savior, and he arose again on the third day. And this is the message that the apostles emphasized everywhere they went. We have a living Savior. And that's what we need to think about today, you know. Yeah, we remember what Jesus did for us. We have communion in remembrance of me, he says. But also we recognize the fact that he is here with us. By his Holy Spirit, he lives in us to lead us in the way that we ought to go. You know, Satan had attempted to short-circuit God's power by deceiving some of the members of the church. You remember? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Ananias and Sapphira listened to the voice of Satan. He was deceived by the devil and lied to the church, lied to the Lord, actually. And God struck them down. Man. What would happen if he did that today? Would we have anybody? No. Anyway, you know what I mean. God is able to do that. He's going to, as we read it over a little bit further in the rest of the New Testament, if you find it's going to get worse and worse and worse until God said, that's enough. And he starts working, and Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. So we know that the end is going to be great, right? Even though you have to go through the valleys, through difficult times, last days, dangerous, perilous times are coming. And we need to be prepared for it and face it. But the Lord is able to see us through all these things. And here God is demonstrating his holiness and his power among these believing people. You know, that's what it takes. We have to have faith and trust and confidence in the Lord. We find here His power over disease and demons. Now, back in the early days, when they were first getting started, there was a great deal of this. Of course, Jesus healed the sick wherever He went. And now the apostles are doing the same thing. And they have all these people that are being made well through the power of God. And so just like Jesus had done, now the early church is following through. And they're seeing these people saved and healed and strengthened. They were meeting together, it says here, at the temple in Solomon's porch. That's the place where Peter and John had, first of all, had, well, they didn't do the healing. Peter said, no, I didn't do it. Jesus did it through them. But anyway, the man who was paralyzed was made well. And they were right there in Solomon's porch, and now they've set up the church there in the same place, right? And meeting together and worshiping the Lord. So it's an open area where everyone could see them, and they presented a strong witness for Christ. And many of the lives were transformed. So here we find all these things. It's kind of interesting what it says here. I was reading about that. You know, it sounds kind of strange, you know, when it says about that. They put them out there so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Wow. Now I wonder about that. It doesn't say that that's what actually healed anybody, but that they thought it would, you know. And so you can think about that however you wish. But at any rate, we see the wonderful power of God working in their midst, using whatever means He saw fit. And the work of God was being done. And a great multitude came. You know, they drew a lot of people, bringing all the sick, and they were healed, everyone. Nobody was left out. You know, it's wonderful how God does that. He is able to reach the worst and the best, no matter who it may be. And then we see here God's power over human authority. Down in verse 17, you find it says, the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, and were filled with indignation. Oh, how could these people possibly, you know, be preaching Jesus? That this man that they had thought they had gotten rid of, you know, but now they're saying he's alive, and they're proclaiming the gospel, and people are being changed and transformed. And instead of rejoicing over that, they got mad. Can you believe it? And it says here that these were the sect of the Sadducees. You remember who the Sadducees were? They were the ones that they believed only for this life. You see? Whatever you do in this life, when you die, that's it. They were sad. And right, they might be. They could be sad, you see, because they didn't believe anything. Right? And so, and then the other group, of course, was the Pharisees. And I guess they were the conservatives of that day. And later on, we'll see this one man speaks up and says something intelligent. I hope some of our conservatives will come up with something intelligent as well. Wouldn't it be great? And we can get things under control. Anyway, we find here his power over human authority. The Jewish leaders, filled with jealousy, because the apostles were seeing something happen that they couldn't do. You see? I mean, they had their times of teaching and preaching and all that, but it didn't make any difference. The apostles come along, and here they see all this activity, and how God is working, the difference is that it's God who is working. You see? And so we find here that they're jealous and they are indignant. And they were displeased with the believers. They had no real faith of their own and resented those who did. They only lived for this life and would have no hope beyond the grave. So what did they do? They saw what was happening and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them into prison. Locked them up. And thought that was the end of it. You know, they came back the next day to go in and get the apostles and bring them out, put them on trial. The only problem was they weren't there. They were gone. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. Huh? Is this true? What do you think? Or is this some kind of a story we're telling here? You know? So often we see these things on television or wherever. You see all these marvelous things happening in. But it has no truth to it. But here, this is true.
Amen.
And we believe that. And the angel of the Lord was able to go and take these people out, lock the doors behind them, and nobody knew anything about it. Right here. Here. Just, it's marvelous. And he told them, now you go up, get on out of here and go up in the mountains and hide, right? Is that what it says?
No, not at all.
He tells them, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. He says, guys, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Mm-hmm. Right? Get out there and teach and preach the word of God. And he sent them back to the temple where they would be in the most trouble, wouldn't it? And the leaders would know exactly where to find them because there they were. They were hiding. And yet, God sent them there to carry on this work. He ordered them to go back to the temple, proclaim the gospel. You know, this. Jesus says this over in Revelation. Chapter 3. He's talking to the church at Philadelphia, which is one of the better churches that we find in this group, the seven churches in Asia Minor. There's nothing really said against the church of Philadelphia. I wish that were true here. I don't know if we can say that. But anyway, chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, I write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts and no man opens. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. They might try. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. So here was the Lord Jesus speaking to the church of Philadelphia, one of the true churches in the last days. And we want to be among that number and continue on faithfully no matter what happens. Excuse me. The apostles here wisely chose to obey him, you know. Now you remember before Peter, when he was released from prison, he went, talked to the believers, and then he went and hid someplace, right? Well, that time he didn't, nobody told him not to, so he did. But this time, the angel says, I want you to go back and continue to preach the gospel there at the temple. And so they obeyed. They obeyed him. Returned to the temple early in the morning when the people were gathering there for prayer. And this time they did not run, they didn't hide, but boldly proclaimed God's word. So they knew God had delivered them from prison. And they were confident that he would watch over them and keep them during this time. And so they weren't afraid to go on and serve him in this way. He said in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, sometimes we get upset, we think, well, oh my goodness, what's going on? Well, God's still in the throne, isn't he? Yes. And we can count on that. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, you know, man can do a lot of things. They're in persecution all over the world. People are dying. And yet God is in control, and he will see us through no matter what. We don't need to worry about what man can do to us. So the next morning we find here the officers go down to the prison and they unlock the door and go in. Where is everybody? There's no one there. So they go back and tell their leaders about this. They said, you know, we looked, it's completely empty. You know, you can almost hear the laughter coming from him. Look at this, you would back in Psalm number 2. Notice what it says. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. The Lord laughing at these people, no doubt, and they think they're so smart, so intelligent, and able to do as they please. The Lord says, oh no, you're going to do as I please, right? And he had the last laugh, if you will. The authorities were greatly perplexed. And they thought the apostles had escaped and disappeared. They were surprised to learn that they were down at the temple teaching. There they were. So they said and had them brought before the court, reprimanded them for not obeying their orders. How dare not obey what we say? And what did they say? You know, we had it, I think, on the front of the bulletin. I don't know what I did. But anyway, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
Right. So that's what they said. And God was pleased with that. So they said, had they had the bar in the court, reprimanded them. And then they would see that they told them we ought to obey God rather than man. Verse 29. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on the tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. So they boldly proclaimed the gospel. The Holy Spirit led them and showed them what they should say, and they preached the word of God. We find the boldness here of these apostles, and they weren't intimidated by the powerful counsel of men. They proclaimed the gospel. Just like they had back in Acts chapter 4 and verse 19. We had that before. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So, once again, they're consistent in proclaiming the word of God, boldly preaching the gospel. And it says, we are witnesses of these things. We have seen it with our own eyes, and we know it's true. So, they're going to stand on that. And the Holy Spirit brought conviction to the leaders. Do you notice what it says here in verse 33? When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. You know what they did? And took counsel from slain. What do you think? How stupid can these people be? Huh? Instead of repenting, they decided they're going to kill these apostles. Get rid of them. That's the answer. That's man's answer to everything, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Violence. Mm-hmm. You don't do what I say, off with the head. Huh? And yet, we find a little bit of reason coming in here. Gamaliel comes in. This is the Apostle Paul. His teacher, before he was converted, Saul of Tarsus was a student of Gamaliel. And apparently he had some pretty good ideas. He gives us some examples here. He says, watch what you're doing. You know, think of these two historic examples he gives. This one man named Theudas led a rebellion, 400 people fighting against the government or whatever. And then he was destroyed, he was killed, and the rest of them were scattered. And then we have this other one that said Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing. Do you think it had anything to do with that? Wait a minute. Yeah. Nobody wants to have to pay the taxes and do it. Yet it's something we have to do. Yeah. Anyhow, we find here this man rose up, and he too was put out and was destroyed. Their whole movement was killed. So he says, think what you're doing here. If these people are God, you cannot stand against them. You know, these other men, they led their rebellion, they were put out. He says, leave these men alone. He said, verse 38, refrain from these men, let them alone, for if this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to nothing. It will all fade out. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found to fight against God. And so he gives them this advice, telling them how foolish it is to fight against God. His counsel, Gamaliel's counsel, was accepted, and they didn't kill him. But it does say here, you know, they still didn't believe. Right? These people are still rebelling. And they beat the apostles and told them not to do any more preaching in the name of Jesus. So what did they do? You know, this is what it says in the last verse. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They kept right on proclaiming the gospel. And that's the reason we have the church around the world today, right? That's the reason so many people have been converted, because these early apostles were faithful to continue proclaiming the Word of God. And we need to be faithful as well. And even in times of drought, when it seems like nothing is happening, we need to continue proclaiming the gospel. God has to do the work. He's the one who will take care of all of that. Now, Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. And we thank you for the church. We pray for us as a people of God that we might be faithful in proclaiming the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the one who died for us. He's the one who arose again. And we are saved because of him. We have our faith and our confidence firmly planted in him. And we do want to thank you so much for the sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And we're going to celebrate that in just a moment. We just thank you for all that we have in our Lord Jesus. Guide and help us now. May we do your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Apostle Paul tells us to examine ourselves to make sure that there's nothing between us and the Lord. So let's take a moment. If there's something in your mind and heart that you want to give to the Lord. Now we thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Help us to walk in fellowship with you day by day and moment by moment, and to honor you and magnify your name, and preach the gospel of Christ to those around us. Lord, we just ask you to guide and help us now as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that it might be meaningful to each and every one of us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Jesus and the disciples on the last day, Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." He took the wine and he said, "This is my blood that is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." My body which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me.
Our Father, as we partake of the bread, remember that God has prepared a body for you that He might live among us and teach us and show us how to live. And bring us to the Father that we might accept the Son and the sacrifice that we might live forever. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. We pray that each one here would take advantage of what you've done for us. So we thank you so much that you became a man that you might save us. And we thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
After the same manner, he took the cup and he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins."
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for how much you have loved us. You sent your only Son to die on the cross for our sins. There was no other sacrifice. That's the ultimate sacrifice that could have been made for us. And we do thank you for that. For without His shed blood, we wouldn't have remission of our sins. I just pray, Father, that as we leave here today, that we would have a desire to tell others about Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That was all said. Father, once again, we thank you for all that we have in Christ Jesus, and we pray that you will bless now each one of us as we go our separate ways, and give us the strength that we need to serve you in the way we should, and help us to be good witnesses in all that we do and in all that we say. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.